Blog Talk Radio.
Donna Corey Gibson, Catholic artist, for Deeper Truth. We got Gregory Thompson, Dr. Gregory Thompson, coming in here in just a second.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Well, good evening around the world. God bless you all. I think we're, as usual, we have a wonderful show for you tonight. And I ask the good Lord to bless each of you in spirit, mind, and body to give you all you need to hear the truth as the good Lord gives it to you. Because man has a way to, that he's always perverted it when he's trapped by Satan. I don't know what happened there.
Okay. No, you're okay. You're well, because I just received a phone call, but we're okay now. Go for it. And we got, before we do so, I got Doc from Tennessee. Doc, here's Greg. And hey, Greg, there's Doc.
Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay. Yeah, we were having problems with yesterday's show. The mics were cutting out or something.
Okay, are we up and running now?
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, we are up and running now. Yeah, we're up and running.
Sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful. Yeah, I just had a walk with the elderly today. And with several from the Sisters of Mercy Country Home up near Liberty, Missouri.
Nice.
Probably the youngest person there was probably about 77 years old, all the way up to 98 at least. I talked to one in the 98-year-old. Told him I wish I was, or hope I'm as good in shape to see him if I live that long.
Right.
And they're very open to wanting to hear the truth and come closer still, even at their age. They want to be prepared for what's coming in a, possibly a very short period of time. I may have saw them in the last day that they were going to be here on Earth, and that's how we always need to. If we approach everyone that we are introduced by the good Lord into their lives, we approach them that might be the last time that we ever see them. How would we treat them, Doc? I'll ask you that if this. If this was the last time you were going to be able to hear Donald's voice, how would you treat him?
We would throw down. We would definitely get down, get busy with it. I mean, you know, I said this on yesterday's show, and I'm going to say it again today. People have no earthly idea how valuable you are to God. It says in Scripture that he would leave the 99 to go and hunt for the one. And then when he finds it, he's going to throw it up on his shoulder and come partying down because he found that one. You know, I mean, in a monetary sense, you're talking about leaving millions of dollars just there for the taking to go find a couple hundred. But we are worth that to God. Our worthiness to him is beyond our wildest conception. That's how important we are to him. And we need to live each day as if that's what it is. Because this is our test on earth. This is our test to get into heaven. And if we blow it, it's over. There's no summer school. So, you know, you got to know your worth. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, what's going on in your life, how bad it is or how good it is, you are worth beyond understanding. You are worth to God.
Amen. And that, what you tied that to is basically what I believe drives us, doesn't it, Doc? Tying that to God. And he's given us opportunity to know him and serve him while we're still yet here alive on earth. So we're there for each of you that are listening tonight. The God that exists, not someone made up, but the God that exists, knew each one of you by name before you were born. And he loves you so much that he's willing to bring things to you that can change the course of your life. Or if you're already there, let's say that you've already had your moment, that's your moment like Thomas did, where you're saying, my Lord and my God. You got all the way to that point in recognition that God is God and that he loves you, you know, and brings us to a point where we want to tell everyone that we know from the rooftops. And I think that's the feeling that we had in the epistle, I think it was yesterday, was it not, when Peter and John went out after being told, don't say any more about this guy. You're going to be in trouble if you do. And what did they do from that conversation? They went out and started shouting from the rooftops. And so they were confronted. What are you doing thinking that you could, we told you not to say anything. How do you feel like you could say something like that? And they said, what did they say? It's better that we obey God than man. Hopefully that's what we do, is we pray that the Holy Spirit guides our steps here when we bring these programs to you, that we obey God and not man. Because Satan hates us for telling these things that have happened in the church. And he hates you all too for coming in and listening to hopefully increase your walk to eternity. But we have to obey God rather than man. Satan doesn't want you to know these things, and so we are here as brothers, you know, Donald, Doc, and I, and sometimes we have a lot more, and people around the world that want to be a part of it. And we applaud you, and we glorify him because of your efforts. So shout it from the rooftops and share it every chance you get. We have another one tonight that you can share with family and friends to help them in their walk to eternity. Donald, thank you for always bringing us to this point where we can have an opportunity to speak to people from one corner of the earth to the other. You know, and you know,
it is a miracle. It's a blessing.
It is for sure. And something probably, I don't know, even 50 years ago, it would have been tough to say that, wouldn't it? You know,
yes.
That's how recent in our walk to eternity that some of us have had the opportunity to know what we know. But every one of us don't know what we don't know. Thank God he will take the scales off our eyes at moments in time to increase what we know and what we can share with others. So, Donald, thank you for putting this together tonight. I was on the road again, and it was just extremely awesome. You know, when I was seeing the majority of these elderly people, the overwhelming majority of the ones I was in ministry with today, they received on the tongue. And even the last lady, I think she was working in possibly in maintenance there, came up and knelt before the priest, received it on the tongue. She was last in line, and when the priest moved to go back to the altar, she stayed kneeling before the Eucharist. And my heart just cried out, Lord, whatever she's thinking and doing in her heart right now, Lord, show that to me, because I want that as part of my walk. You know, we're told to let people see why we're so happy. Let them know why we're so happy to know what we know. So when I saw that great gesture of reverence before a holy God, not anything that was, you know, acted out or based ahead of time, just a reaction to the reality that our Lord loves us so much that we can kneel before him and receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity into our lives to strengthen our walk in spirit in a fallen world that we're in. And it is fallen. Thank God he gives us the power and the recognition, for one thing, to be like the sons of Issachar, to understand the times and to know what to do as a result. And so how are we knowing what to do? Well, the good Lord has given us knowledge of who he is, and we try to shout it from the rooftops. So much so that you can sometimes just feel the excitement of others as they're listening and say, okay, I want a part. I want some of that. Whatever it is, I want to know what they know. I want to be able to receive what they've received. Because I can tell you right now, I know myself that I very much when we, right there before you receive the Eucharist, what's one of the last things here? Let's look at the host. And what do we say, you know, right before we go receive the Eucharist? Lord, I'm not worthy that you should receive, should come under my roof. But when I say the word, and my soul shall be saved. And Donald, Doc can say it even better than I just did. Can you tell me the exact wording?
Well, I would say amen. When the priest says the body of Christ, I would say amen. Very true. And what you said, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. And Doc, do you know where the source of that prayer comes from in the scripture?
The centurion, when he wanted Christ to come and heal his servant. And Christ is like, show me the way. And he's like, you know, I'm a man of power. I tell my servants go and do, they do. You know, you a man of power too. You say go and it's done. And Christ was like, I've never seen anybody with so much faith. You know, Christ knew, I mean, the centurion knew that if Christ said it would be done, it was done. There was no doubt, no hesitation, no second thought. You know, I mean, that straight up was faith. And that's a classic example of righteous masculinity. And you can stand up and say, because these were the Romans. They weren't friends with the Jews. He wasn't supposed to show Jesus respect. You know, the Roman soldiers treated the Jews like dirt. You know, they conquered their country. They killed them by the thousands. So for this centurion to say this to a Jewish man, rabbi, whatever, showed a tremendous amount of respect and tremendous amount of righteous masculinity and overwhelming faith.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Donna, we have someone that, like Doc, is very excited, you know, in the stories of them. We're going to speak to you about St. Stanislaus Kostka, who received communion from angels as he lay deathly in the home of a Lutheran couple who would not permit the Eucharist to be brought into their house. You know, when this happened in that time, he lived as a guest of a noble Protestant who would not even permit him to be visited by a Catholic priest. Stanislaus was not discouraged, and one night, in the presence of his tutor, he received communion in a miraculous way. A few days later, he recovered and decided to enter the Jesuit order. Stanislaus maintained this exemplary religious behavior regardless of the pressure from his brother, tutor, and host, who all criticized him. This was all accepted with patience and submission by Stanislaus, and during the night he even prayed for them. At some age, 17, Stanislaus became gravely ill. What happened is necessary to note that he belonged to the fraternity of St. Barbara, whose members trust their patroness to bring the communion upon the point of death. And then Stanislaus had total faith. And in fact, one night woke up his tutor, who was keeping his vigil, exclaiming, here is St. Barbara. Here she is with two angels. She's bringing me the Blessed Sacrament. And so it was. The angels knelt by him, and he was given Holy Communion. Peter Miles, raised from the dead by St. Stanislaus of Krakow. Holden preferred to return to purgatory rather than to live again upon earth. The celebrated miracle of this resurrection happened in 1070 and is related in the Acta Sanctorum on May 7th. We're getting close to that anniversary. St. Stanislaus, unjustly accused, turned to God for succor. St. Stanislaus was bishop of Krakow when the Duke of Bolesław II governed Poland from 1058 to 1079. He did not neglect to remind this prince of his duties, who scandalously violated them before all his people. Bolesław was irritated by the holy admonishment of the prelate. In revenge, he incited against him the heirs of a certain Peter Miles, who had died 3 years before. After having sold a piece of ground to the church in Krakow. What happened is the heirs accused the saint of having usurped the ground without having paid the owner. Stanislaus declared that he had paid for the ground. However, since the witnesses who should have defended him had been either bribed or intimidated, he was denounced as a usurper of that property and condemned to make restitution. Then, seeing that he had nothing to expect from human justice, St. Stanislaus raised his heart to God and received a sudden inspiration. He asked for a delay of 3 days in court, promising to make your mom appear in person so they might testify to the legal purchase and payment of the property. The days were granted to him in court. Saint fasted, watched, and prayed God to take up the defense of his cause. The third day, after having celebrated Holy Mass, he went out accompanied by his clergy and many of the faithful to the place where Peter Miles had been interred, where he'd been buried in the ground. On his order, the grave was open. It contained nothing but bones. He touched them with his crozier, and in the name of Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, he commanded the dead man to arise. And Stanislaus resurrected the man so he can testify in court against Duke Bolesław. Suddenly the bones became reunited, were covered with flesh, and in sight of the stupefied people, the dead man was seen to take the bishop by the hand and walk towards the tribunal. Duke Bolesław, if you hadn't got a wake up call before that, I mean that was a wake up call for the Duke. The Duke with his court and an immense crowd of people were awaiting the result with the most lively expectation. That's just hard to imagine that words could explain how they must have felt. You know, a lively expectation. "Behold, Peter," said the saint to Bolesław. "He comes, Prince, to give testimony before you. Interrogate him. He will answer you." It is impossible to depict the stupefaction of the Duke. just reading about it, it's hard to even imagine. Yes, his counselors and the whole concourse of people. Peter affirmed that he had been paid for the ground. Then, turning towards his heirs, he reproached them for having accused the pious prelate against all rights of justice. Then he exhorted them to do penance for so grievous a sin. Thus it was that iniquity, which believed itself already sure of success, was confounded. Wishing to complete this great miracle for the glory of God, Stanislaus proposed to the deceased that if he desired to live a few years longer, he would obtain for him this favor from God, for whom nothing is impossible. And he'd been in the ground. He was all the way to bones. And he came back and was raised from the dead. And the person that was holy enough to raise him from the dead by God's power, he gave him the following opportunity. And Peter replied that he had no such desire. He didn't want to go back here on earth. He didn't want to start over here on earth. He was in purgatory, but he would rather return there immediately and endure its pain than expose himself to damnation and the stress of your life. He's not the only one that's seen that throughout the centuries. The ones that were in pain would not want to come back because they knew if they were in purgatory, they knew with certainty that as soon as their sins were purged and they were cleansed, that they would be in the presence of the Holy God. So he entreated the saint, St. Stanislaus, only to beg of God to shorten the time of his sufferings, that he might the sooner enter the abode of the blessed. After that, accompanied by the bishop and a vast multitude, he returned to his grave, laid himself down, his body fell to pieces, and his bones resumed the same state in which they had been found. Wow, that's so remarkable to even read the words.
That is an incredible story.
And then he said, we have reason to believe that the saint soon obtained the deliverance from his soul from the sufferings of purgatory.
That whole song and dance, he kind of earned it. But I've said that before. If I open my eyes and I'll be in purgatory like 2 seconds from now, I'll be the happiest person there, I promise you. Yeah, and then that come back and, okay, you made it to purgatory, so now you got a chance to come back to earth and screw it up. No. I'll stay right there and do that part.
Amen.
Well, Greg?
Yeah, go ahead.
Greg?
Yeah?
Well, there is in Scripture where the Moabites were out there burying an individual when there were some marauders out there looking to steal and plunder. And they had a body that they threw into a tomb that held the remains of Elisha. Now, you can't say Elijah, because Elijah, his remains, he was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot. Remember that story?
I do.
Well, Elisha, he was in a tomb, and when they were burying this individual and the Moabites was threatening them, or they felt threatened by the Moabites out there, they threw this body into this tomb, and this body touched Elisha's remains. And Elisha, he come together, just like this individual here, where his bones took back up to skin. And he come up and he stood up there in front of everybody there and said, who touched me? Can you imagine that? I mean, like, wow. Wow.
What part of rest in peace don't you folks understand?
That is the most remarkable in this example, is that the man's soul from purgatory, after having experienced the most excruciating torments, prefers that state of suffering to the life of this world. And the reason which he gives for his present preference is that it was this mortal life we are exposed to the danger of being lost and incurring eternal damnation. Wow.
Well, Greg, did you notice, did you catch this right here? On the third day, now the third day, what happens on the third day? What did Jesus do on the third day there, Doc?
He rose.
Jesus rose from the dead, right?
Right.
Now, okay, now after our saint today that we're looking at here, after our saint had celebrated Holy Mass, Greg, what happens here after he celebrates Holy Mass?
Well, after he celebrated Holy Mass, he was the saint. They were taken to the grave of the witness.
Went back to the grave.
Do what?
Yeah.
The witness went back to the grave.
Yeah, after he had
celebrated the Eucharist.
Yes. Well, canonization.
I mean, that would be a nice reprieve. I mean, you're sitting in purgatory going through that torment, and next thing you know, you get to come up, go to court, get the Eucharist, and then, you know, so yeah, you know, I mean, I can see why they believe he got his sainthood after that.
Yeah. That is an amazing story. That's an amazing, there's so much about that. I mean, in a Lutheran home, they would not allow a priest to come and bring the youth the Eucharist. They would not allow that to happen. But that did not deter the youth from asking. And that did not deter the Lord from sending an angel, two angels. And I wonder what's happened to that Lutheran home once the angels appeared and knocked on the door and said, knock, knock. And they were here for to bring Holy Communion, Jesus.
How in the world would they have not have been converted on the spot?
Yeah, they would.
Well, I'm wondering. I would say so. I think it's easy to say they were converted. yeah.
I think until I died, when I saw that, I'd say, Lord, use me and use me with every person you put into my path. Let me tell them the story of what just happened, what I saw with my own eyes out of the grace of God. I was converted because I saw what happened to an innocent man and how it happened. I got to be a witness to that. You know, it's like the apostles who got to be a witness to the fact that Jesus raised from the dead. And they went out and they wanted to shout it. And the leaders of the day said, shush, ooh, don't say that anymore. If you don't want to go to jail, you better be hushing up and quit saying these things. And
hey. We just got Mike just popped in. Mike, you've been listening to this. What do you think of this, Mike?
No, I just got in for the last sentence of it. So I'm really not sure what you're talking about.
Well, we're talking about the Eucharist.
I know it's the Eucharist
being miraculous
somewhere.
Well, where angels gave a youth Holy Communion that was miraculous. But how are you doing there, Mike?
Well, about the same. Hopefully I'll get out of here in a week or so.
Well, God
love
you, brother.
You sound pretty good to me right now. You sound good now, right now. You sound like you're getting better.
Yeah.
You almost got fully that baritone voice back. What a deal. Yeah, I love
you,
Mike.
Did you hear Greg there? Mike, did you hear Greg right there?
Something about a baritone voice.
He always had that deep voice that you could, when a deep voice starts speaking something, it comes from the good Lord. It almost has an automatic amen, amen. Listen up.
Yeah.
I'm ready to tell you something that can bring people closer to heaven for eternity.
You know, I did a gospel music show some years ago, and you know what my sign-off on it was?
Oh, nice.
You know, God turned around backwards is dog. If you spell God, G-O-D, backwards, it spells dog. And a lot of people try to turn God around these days. Either way you look at him, he's still man's best friend.
Well, I think as far ugly as our culture has become, it would be good if some people in this country, we know that we were given a special gift of grace to be able to know Jesus is in the body, blood, soul, and divinity fully in the Eucharist. But there's a lot of people, even sitting in the pews of their own church, that don't have that awareness. Lord, give them all they need. Give them your Holy Spirit to wake them up. So that
we said this before, but a Eucharistic miracle takes place at every Mass.
Amen. Amen. And what a great sadness that so many don't recognize that. I did have it recognized today by a young lady, probably in her late 30s, early 40s, that she was the last one to receive the Eucharist. Hispanic young lady that helped with the maintenance and cleanup and different things that happened for the elderly at a rest home. And when she received the Eucharist, she knelt down in front of the priest and received the Eucharist on her tongue. And as he walked back to the altar to end the Mass, she stayed there on the floor, on her knees, bent even more at the waist to glorify God. Well, it was an awesome sight for me, and it just very inspiring. And to see that today before this tonight, before what happened tonight in the Eucharistic miracle. And St. Stanislaus, is he from Poland, Donald?
Yes, he was from Poland. And if you look at that picture that I have in the article that I sent you, if you look at that picture, you see that St. Stanislaus is on his knees receiving the Eucharist from the angel. And I just thought that was pretty, that's a good description.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if it's the same person. When did the St. Stanislaus live, Donald?
He was canonized on September the 17th, 1253. And he was Pope St. John Paul II in Poland in 1979, made a beautiful, word over his grave.
Well, Poland, I guess they had a special closeness in many ways, like all of us are offered by a holy God. But they've had some awesome saints from that country. Awesome. That's where St. Maximilian Kolbe is from. Who has the body of who has the mercy.
A Catholic nun. Yeah.
You got it on the tip of your tongue.
Yes, I do. Faustina.
That's right. So remarkable. And those listening, because I'm going to give you a little challenge if you don't already have it in your home. What does it say on the front of the picture of Jesus with the rays flowing from his heart?
Jesus, I trust in you.
And one of the things, the actual words Jesus said to Faustina, listen up, and if you will email or write to Donald, we'll make sure you get a copy of this, because it's on the back of one of these is all, well, at least many of the things that Jesus said to St. Faustina. But if we, once she made this image, like Jesus told her to paint this image as it is on the front of the prayer. And what it says on there, I'm going to get it for you right now. It's that important. I always have to have one of the best readers in the class stand up here and read this to everybody. And we give it to every student and adult. You know, just watching the what I was telling the last group, we were about ready to pack up, and a group of five more people came in that hadn't been in there yet. And so I took the relics back out so that they could touch the relics. And we gave them rosaries and miraculous medals to become third-class relics. But I had them read this, and I'm going to read it out loud to you so you hear it and see what Jesus said. He told St. Faustina, paint an image according to the pattern you see. That's the one you see where Jesus stand there, and at the bottom of it says, Jesus, I trust in you, right? That's the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, listen to this next words. I promise. Now, this is Jesus talking to Faustina. Would you think that God saying that to you if you heard these words? I promise the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. Just starting out, Jesus, our creator, saying, I promise, that should perk our ears up right now. And I promise, being said by our creator, the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. First thing I asked the children at that point, I said, what does it mean, will not perish? And almost to a person, I haven't seen someone start out with the exact defining that. They'll usually say, won't die. I said, no, we're all going to die. Well, where is it that we might go after we die? And usually, probably more times than not, this is something a little boy will come up with, especially if I point that out. And because the teacher and their principal, different ones, will be there while the young man is answering. And I said, what's it mean, you will not perish? And eventually they'll get it, and they probably might even say it softly, like a little mouse. You know, won't go to hell, you know? And I said, you can say it in front of your principal and teacher right now, because that's reality. Tell them what Jesus is saying. I promise the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. And so, when I was up there at the St. George, that, you know, 3 days ago, the principal said, go ahead and say it out loud. He said, Jesus said, you won't go to hell. Guys, now, would that not be something that you would say when St. Faustina heard that? And I've even said this in front of knights, and because a lot of people don't know what it is to venerate, you know.
Honor.
They don't hear that phrase very often, to venerate, you know. And so I've been having a little boy stand there beside me, and I'm going to show you how I do that. But before I show you what it means to venerate, if Jesus said, I promise that you won't go to hell, what if you could be the one that could help your parents get to heaven for eternity? Would that be a pleasing thing for you if you were used as an instrument to get your parents to heaven for eternity? And building one of those sacred heads, yes. And I said, now I'm going to show you a type of veneration here, all right? I'm going to ask you to ask your parents to tack this right beside the door of your bedroom before you leave your bedroom. I have it right beside the door of my house. Just tack it right there beside the door of your bedroom before you leave it. And if your parents don't want you to tack it, then ask them if they'll frame it and put it on your desk.
Mm.
But put this right before you leave your room and every morning. How many of you would give me 20 seconds if it could take your mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, your priest, your principal, your teachers, those that are that have power over you, if you could help them get to heaven for eternity, would you give me 20 seconds? And the children, they always say yes. And so I have the little boy that's next to me because they can do it easier than I can. And I said, this is me. I tell the young man now, go ahead and kneel down. Now, what does it say up there on that picture? And the little boy will say, Jesus, I trust in you. Okay, start this way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, I trust in you. Help my mom, my dad, my grandma and grandpa, my priest, my principal, my teachers. Help them all get to heaven for eternity. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I said, that didn't even take 20 seconds, did it? You did it on your knees. He knows that if you will venerate him, that you'll become more pious and holy. So he's given you a way to know how you can become holy and all the time get stronger in your faith. Because God loves you, he's given you a way to be with him for eternity. And I said, you can use this. That's something that I would say. You know, I'm showing you a way. You can make your language how you would talk to God and ask him for something special like that. And I said, are you willing to do that? And the children always say yes. So anyone out there listening, when I told that there were five men and a lady that came in after we were putting things up. We got it all out, and I said, guys, do you want one of these for each room in your house? And they said, yes. I said, how many do you need? And they were taking five or six of these to put in every room in their house. That's how important it can be to, as a tool that the good Lord gives you to be with him for eternity. It's not the only thing he's given us. He's given us the rosary. The most powerful thing, he's given us the Mass. But as a good Lord that loves you so much, he knew each one of you by name while you were still sinners. But he came and out of love for you gave you an opportunity to repent and understand that this could be your last day. And it could be the last day for any of us as we're sitting here listening tonight. But that your last action was, Lord, give me some of those so I can hand them out to other people, so I can help bring other people to heaven for eternity. I know everyone listening here tonight, Satan hates you for coming and trying to increase the strength of your walk to eternity with the Holy God. And who's there wanting to try to stop you? Satan. He hates you with a passion. He hates each of you listening with a passion. He hates each of you that would take an opportunity to step out and take action that could save a family or an individual. And if you're willing to do that, give Don an email or call him and give him your address, and we can send you something that can help your family.
Amen to that.
So.
And you were saying something about Saint Stanislaus. Well, he was born on July the 26th. This is the same day in 1956 that the Egyptian president seized control of the Suez Canal and nationalized it, sparking a crisis that later resulted in the French, British, and Israeli forces briefly occupying parts of Egypt. So that's what happened on July the 26th. But July the 26th, 10:30, was when Saint Stanislaus was born, and he died on April 11th, 1079.
Wow. You know, I had the prideful, arrogant days growing up. I had the one of the things I was very prideful about was the fact that it seemed like the whole country started celebrating my birthday 7 days before my birthday. They started doing all these fireworks and rockets and displays in the skies exactly 7 days before my birthday. So you can try to think of what day my birthday landed on. So, anyway, God's so good to us to be aware of things around us. And you know, I know I've told it before. One of the things besides that was in my prideful, arrogant days was when I found out there was a Saint Gregory the Great. And, of course, Gregory is my name. I started signing all my paperwork at school. I was in middle school at the time. I started signing at Gregory the Great. But I couldn't even – here was somebody, Gregory the Great, Pope Gregory the Great, was someone that would feel just like St. John the Baptist, you know, that he was unworthy to even unloosen the sandals of the feet of Jesus. And all of us can definitely know that a person that felt that way, like St. Gregory the Great, as John the Baptist, that I'm eons below that person to not feel worthy to receive the Eucharist, like it says in Mass, that he should even come under my roof. But like Doc said tonight, they understood that when they put that in Scripture as something from Scripture, that this officer in the Roman military knew and had great faith and told Jesus that, you know, knew that his servant was healed at that moment in time. So God bless each of you out there tonight. Any last words, Don, Doc? Any of you?
Yeah, I'm just I'm still picturing that guy getting up out of his casket. The looks on the faces. Yeah, I imagine there was one or two conversions. I really wish stuff like that was happening now, get it on film, show it around the world. Can you imagine the uproar? You know, the way people would just lose their mind over something like that?
So, you know, when you said that, what I can see is a local priest, you know, and him telling people, he said, yeah, as soon as that went out, I didn't sleep for about 7 days. People kept calling, knocking on my door.
But Greg, I want to personally thank Saint Caesar de Bus for entering into the gap today, for his witness and his life and story today. So I want to thank Saint Caesar de Bus for entering in to the gap today. Now, tomorrow, St. Bernadette Subaru will be entering into the gap tomorrow. And so that will be – do you know who St. Bernadette Subaru was there, Greg?
Was that Our Lady of Lourdes?
Yep.
Yes.
And Mike, how did you feel about it tonight?
Mike, you there? He's in the
No, I'm here. I just have myself muted.
Oh, okay.
There's possibly a noise from here.
Well, Donald, do you have someone have a prayer for tonight?
Yes, I have a gentleman from Pakistan that sent me a word that he wanted us to pray for his mother there from Pakistan. And also, the bishop there in Australia had been stabbed on Monday night. He was stabbed by after the 7 o'clock mass. And
oh wow!
In the picture, it looked like the individual who was stabbing the bishop was. He looked like to me, like he was Palestinian, possibly Muslim. That's what I got from the picture.
That wouldn't be surprising, considering the amount of Muslim refugees that have entered that country and the attacks on the church that because of that.
Oh, guys,
so we pray for the bishop to recover.
And the conversion of his attacker.
Yeah, really.
That's very, very important what you just said. The good Lord has said for us to pray for our enemies. And we do have enemies that are all around the world that hate the Catholic Church and always have from the beginning of the church back with Jesus' time. Many have been killed. Many today in the Middle East have been killed. We pray for the conversion of these those that are do not know God, do not know him as our Lord and Savior, and that we can hopefully touch their lives by standing up and speaking the truth, and that some of them would come forth and be converted. I know that I just saw a picture on my Facebook page, 238 young Catholic children that were taking their first communion in Iran. Is that a hard one to even hear, to think that that's possible?
When I was there, you know, Greg, when I was there, when I left Iraq in 2006, I had 3,000 Muslims that was preparing to become Catholic there at that time. And when I left there again in 2011, I had many more from the Kurds in northern Iraq that were converting to the Catholic Church. And I'm afraid that a lot of those were killed by ISIS during that, during Obama's, So, but yes, there in the green zone there in Baghdad, we had several First Communions, 100-plus First Communions there then, too.
Awesome.
At a time when priests was trying to escape because they were killing priests wherever they could find them.
Yeah.
Greg, did you want the coverage of the attack on Israel over the weekend?
I just heard a little bit about it. I've been on the road until today. I didn't get back till about 5-something today.
Okay. So, part of that coverage, what went through was the form of a, was something in the form of a cross. And I immediately thought about the Crusades, which used the cross as a sign, as they said in Hoc Signo Vinces, and in this sign you conquer. I wonder if there's any significance to that cross, or it just happened to show up.
I didn't see that. Did it come through on the videos of what was coming in? They were showing it.
Fox News had it.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Well, send me a copy of that if you can. Go ahead.
Greg, my battalion, my division, when we were in Iraq, we were the only division that had a cross in our shield. That's true.
Well, that's the case, Donald. If I was a bishop, I would have made it possible for you as a in the medical corps to be able to carry the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ into battle in case someone was dying.
Well, they did.
Yeah, I knew that, Donald.
Yeah.
That's pretty. Well, Donald, give us our final blessing, you know, to the people, and invite them back next week. Invite them to share.
All right.
Learned.
Well, we will be back for Journey with Mary on Sunday night, and then on next Monday we will have, with Dr. Gregory Thompson, we'll have Eucharistic miracles that we will cover. And so we invite you all back. And we would be watching for us with our Stand in the Gap. We invite a saint to enter into the gap every day. And tomorrow we will have Saint Bernadette Subaru, who will be blessing us with her presence in the gap tomorrow. And that's wonderful. And we thank you, Lord.
Say a special prayer for the person from Pakistan whose family member is needing prayer, Donald. And
All right. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. O little flower of Jesus, you have shown yourself so powerful in your intercession, so tender and compassionate for those who honor you and invoke you in suffering and distress, that we kneel at your feet with perfect confidence and beseech you most humbly and earnestly to take us under your protection in our present necessities. And the gentleman that I'm speaking of, and from Pakistan, and his mother, to obtain for them this favor, I ask this request for the gentleman from Pakistan and his mother. And recommend my request to Mary, the merciful Queen of Heaven, that she may plead our cause with you before the throne of Jesus, her divine Son. Cease not to intercede for us until our requests are granted. Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus, pray for us. Amen.
Amen. I will follow that with a prayer for the person from Australia that was stabbed during Mass, after Mass, whatever happened there, for that person calling in about that. Merciful Jesus, I consecrate myself today and always to your most sacred heart. Most sacred heart of Jesus, help me to love you more and more. Most sacred heart of Jesus, I trust in you. Most sacred heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I believe in your love for me. Jesus, meek and humble heart, make my heart like yours. O Immaculate Mother, Mother of Mercy, I surrender myself unto thee. Lead me to your Son, Jesus, so he may work in me and through me. O Mother, pray for me, pray for us who have recourse to thee. I am totally yours. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, take care of all that have, all of our warriors here tonight and their families, their own health and spirit, mind, and body, the health and of the walk of their family, Lord, all, whatever's needed to get them to heaven for eternity, Lord, that's what we're asking for, you to give us that peace and joy that only comes from God. Yes, God, that's you, Lord. Let us have that peace and joy as we watch in our own lives right now under our watch. We're seeing people do horrendous things that spit in your holy face. Strengthen us, Lord. Let us be warriors for you, servant spiritual warriors that by the Holy Spirit guide each one of our steps through your sorrowful and immaculate heart of your mother, to be warriors for you, Lord, to glorify you in every breath we take, in every step we take, Lord, in every action that we take, that is totally for you, led by the Holy Spirit through your sorrowful and immaculate heart, Mary, to bring glory to your Son, to honor you, and defend his bride, the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We give to you these things and ask for it for all of those listening tonight, all of their families, Lord. Strengthen us. Bring us closer to you for eternity. If this is the last day that I can speak, Lord, let me use it to bring a soul to you. We love you, everyone out there, and we give you a man's blessing, that God can give you the blessing you need for each of your family members. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Guys, God bless you. Share, call in, or email Don, and we'll send you one of these beautiful things for your home. On the front is a beautiful picture of Jesus, put with his hand on his heart, giving rays out from his heart. And Jesus, I trust in you. And on the back, all these quotes from Jesus to Saint Faustina. This is our gift to you. If you will email or contact Donald, we will send this to you, okay? So put us to work. Let us give you something that can, Jesus says, if you'll venerate this image, you will not go to hell. Is that pretty important? If it's pretty important to any of you, let Donald know in an email or a call on how we can get this to you. So God bless you tonight. Come back next week, and we'll hopefully get to speak to many of you again. God bless you.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
Oh.
All right. And it is time. And so this alone. This alone.
Thank you for joining us on this special edition of the Catholic Defender, where we examine the truths of our faith and why we believe it. Our guest host tonight has been Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. It is our hope that after listening to this program, your faith is strengthened and you can truly say,
I believe in miracles.
Please be sure and join us next time when Dr. Thompson brings you an in-depth examination of a Eucharistic miracle, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.